Wanted to mix things up a little bit today and give you a message sort of near the end of the service, because Christ has an invitation to you this week to join him on the way of the cross for this Thursday and Friday's services, as well as bringing us into Easter. You heard today the cantata, which really summarized the whole message of Christ's ministry, what he did for us, and that's summed up in other places in Scripture as well. One of the appointed readings for this Sunday is Philippians 2, 1 to 11, where Paul writes, "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort in his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete, being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit with one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus." And it goes on to say that he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped or used to his own advantage, but he made himself a servant. Being found in his appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. The Eastern Church, which we are praying for a great deal because most of the Christians in Ukraine are Eastern Orthodox, they call the season of Lent a bright sadness, a bright sadness. I think we understand the sadness part. Life is full of sadness, even cruelty and violence, but we'd rather avoid it. We don't open the newspaper every week and look at the obituary section and say, "Oh, I wonder what funeral I could go to this week," do we? We only go to those, we enter into mourning with those we care about. We don't just flippantly go into to funerals or into mourning. We don't attend funerals for fun. We look for at the paper to see what shows are playing or what restaurants are offering specials or what's happening at the fountain or on the avenue, right? But this week, God's inviting you into a bright sadness to come along with Jesus on the road of suffering and death. We think about that, and how could a humans do to other humans what they did to Jesus? It's a certain sickness that would like to see torturing another person as pleasurable. It's so far from God. It's so far from grace. If you've been watching The Chosen like we have at church here, the characterizations of the actors who play the disciples and Jesus are so believable. I can't even imagine how horrendous it's going to be to watch this week unfold in movie form when we've gotten to know Peter and Mary and all the disciples and Jesus and see Jesus' trial and arrest and the disciples fleeing, Peter denying him, the betrayal and his crucifixion where he says from the cross, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." But knowing that all that goes into a crucifixion is such a time of sadness. The Romans perfected torture, 39 lashes, because if they gave 40, it would kill the person. As they hung their victims on crosses, it wasn't the pain, although that was agonizing, that killed them. It was suffocation. It's hard to imagine how humans can be so cruel to one another. And then to realize that's what they did to our Savior. We understand sadness. The choir sang about it in the song, "The Cross Held Up the Sky." It said, "The Savior stands condemned to die. Can we know the pain he felt inside on the lonely day the cross held up the sky? The cross is lifted up high. See, the Lamb of God began to die on that lonely day when the cross held up the sky." What wondrous love, what perfect grace that God sent his Son to die in our place. Christ suffered and died while the wind moaned and sighed, yet he loved us. So love is so amazing, so divine. On that lonely day, the cross held up the sky. So that's the sad part. What is bright about this? You know, when you shine light in a dark place, like if you're afraid of the dark or you hear a noise, you turn the lights on to see what's there, right? Light drives out the darkness, and it reveals what's lurking in the shadows. The bright part of this week is the promise that Jesus saves. We ran across these two donkeys at a special fair in Minnesota last fall. And I didn't know this until I saw them, but notice what's on the back of a donkey. It looks like a cross, doesn't it? That's what Jesus rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. It's these things, even this is a very small sign of the multitude of prophetic things that he did when he rode into Jerusalem, when he died on the cross, fulfilling prophecy that he had no power to do except that God ordained it. We look at these donkeys and we see the brightness. On that day when he rode into Jerusalem, the lambs were being brought into town for the Passover. And they had to be inspected to ensure that they were pure and spotless, without blemish. The lambs would later be slaughtered as a sacrifice. But it was Jesus on that Friday that made the final sacrifice. He was the Lamb of God. The cantata ended with this song, "There's a Green Hill Far Away." It says, "We may not know, we cannot tell what pains he had to bear, but we believe it was for us he hung and suffered there. Or dearly, dearly has he loved, and we must love him too, and trust in his redeeming blood, rest in his unfailing love, follow him, and try his works to do." It says, "He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might at last go to heaven, saved by his precious blood." There's two things that are bright in that song. First, follow him and try his works to do. His love confronts our selfishness and darkness, and our perspective changes. And when you start to think differently about people or about sin or about something that you have normally just done without a thought, and you thought, "I wonder what Jesus would think of this," you should say, "How wonderful. How wonderful that my thinking is changing. That my attitude is becoming more and more the same as that of Christ." That little verse in that song that says, "He died to make us good." Now, sometimes that might strike us a little weird. Like, wait a second, we're not good. We have a lot of bad in us. But what the songwriter is talking about, the writer of this poem, is what Luther called imputed righteousness. He wrote this, "Lord Jesus, you are my righteousness, just as I am your sin. You've taken upon yourself what is mine and have given me what is yours. You've taken upon yourself what you were not and have given me what I was not." He died for us to take upon our sin, and he gave us his righteousness. That's why we call this Friday good. The good doesn't come in the moment. The good is the result. Lent, being this season of bright sadness, fits. God invites you to the journey with him, to the cross. The services on Thursday and Friday are so meaningful to enter into this sadness and to experience the joy. Bright sadness. The word from Romans 5 in conclusion here. Paul writes, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Would you pray with me, please? Bright sadness. Lord, we understand the sadness of this week. It pains us to see again, remember again, confront again what was done to you. The cruelty, the torture, the pain, the agony of Calvary. Lord, we pray that as we would encounter that again, that we would understand the result, which is the bright part, the joy. That because you did this for us, we can have and do have a right, restored relationship with you. Because while we were still sinners, you died for us. So we thank you for this holiest of weeks and pray you would enliven our celebration, strengthen our prayer, and instill deeply in us the faith that saves. Because if it was just one person in the world, Christ would have died for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.